Knowing your anagram type allow you to hear God better? Let's talk about it with Eve Annunziato and Jackie Brewster on Steve Brown, etc.
He's an old white guy, an author, broadcaster, and seminary professor who's sick of religion. And he's brought friends. Please welcome Steve Brown, etc.
And we're so glad you're here. You always have a seat at our table. I'm Steve, the old white guy. And as our lady friend said, I brought some good friends with me. Our favorite megachurch pastor, Zach Van Dyke, is here, of course. Zach is an anagram type 7, but he's been working out so much, he's actually down to a type 6. Given how much I know about this subject, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know it works that way.
What?
I don't think it works that way.
Matthew Porter, our executive producer, is with us. Matthew has a new children's book coming out soon, and we'll interview him. It's called You're the Reason Daddy Drinks. And our producer, Jinx, is working hard in his little glass booth. Jinx is different, but he hopes to one day make enough money to be eccentric. White?
Trick.
I can be eccentric without being rich.
Our video director, John Myers, is in his tech bunker. Jokes aside, and I really mean this, John, congratulations on the launch of our new Key Life app. You can get that both at iPhone and Android, and John has been working on it for months. And if you go there and you get the app and you use it, you'll be absolutely blown away with that. Dr. George Bingham is the president of Key Life. George believes that with a great beard comes great responsibility. And Kathy, of course, is the warm feminine side of this program. As always, Kathy has the serene smile of a flight attendant on a plane that's about to crash land.
What's going on?
You bring your calm.
Matthew,
kids write these.
Listen, Matthew, you and I'll talk later.
Right. Listen, you get 3 out of 10 and you go to the Baseball Hall of Fame. All right. So come on.
Yeah. Well, if we'll see how the show goes, it may crash and burn. So
that's true.
Yeah. Well, it never, we have two guests that are dynamite. It's not going to crash and burn. I may crash and burn with learning so much. This will be sort of like, for me, the old guy drinking from a fire hydrant. All of these ideas are new. I even had to get Matthew to show me how to pronounce anagram.
That's not how you pronounce it.
And that's not an endorsement for his teaching capability.
Well, pronounce it.
Enneagram.
Enneagram?
Yeah. Yeah. Like the word any at the beginning. Like
not just one gram, it's enneagram.
Enneagram, yeah.
Any one you want.
I got it. At least for the next 5 minutes, you'll probably have to correct me. I get so much respect around here.
What'd you do without
it? I'll get corrected as we go along. Eve, by the way, is an Emmy award-winning journalist who moved from news writing to reporting to ministry to leadership roles at some of the fastest growing churches in the country. And Jackie is a certified Enneagram coach. She consults with teams and individuals to help them find the best version of themselves by identifying their unique personality type through the teaching of the Enneagram and biblical truth. Even Jackie's new book, which I hold in my nicotine-stained fingers, is Hearing God Speak. 52 weeks, interactive, Enneagram devotional. All right. First start with me. Now that I've learned how to pronounce it, explain what it is.
So the Enneagram is a personality tool that we use to really help us identify our patterns of behavior. And so when we look at it, you know, people say, like, is it like Myers-Briggs or DISC or things like that? And I would say, yes, but no, because with the Enneagram, it gives you a growth track. So it's not just about identifying ourselves and, you know, putting, like, I think about it a lot, like, I don't want people to just find, like, okay, I'm an eight, so I'm, you know, and I'm strong and I'm assertive and I'm all these things. I'm going to put all these labels all over myself with a sticky note. And then that's how I'm going to live my life. The Enneagram is a tool that helps bring awareness to the ways that you're living. And then why are you doing it? Like, where did it come from? Why did you begin to act like this? What, you know, what in your life caused you to believe that you had to be these different ways to keep yourself safe, to get your needs met, to get love? And that's really what I do with my clients, is to unpack these patterns of behavior to figure out how do you grow to the best version of yourself? But you've got to figure out where you're at and where it came from.
Huh. Do you, if I wanted to take the test, where would I go?
So I love the Ready Test if you're going to take a test. I'm not, you know, when I first started teaching, I was like, test, test, test. But the more that I have learned about it and I've studied it and worked with people, I like a more narrative approach. Like, let's read through the book. The book that we wrote, even I wrote, it is a more narrative approach over the course of 52 weeks. Hopefully you'll get to it before then, but maybe not 52 weeks. You can read about the different personalities and how they show up and why they're doing what they're doing, and then really begin to identify, like, oh, this sounds like me. That sounds like me, but I don't really want anybody to know that about me. So there is the Ready Test, R-H-E-T-I, that I recommend, or there's some free personal tests online if you want to do it through a test. Or
is it expensive?
No, the Ready Test is $12, or there's free tests online you can take. The Wisdom of the Enneagram is another book that I really love. And in that, there's a test that you can take inside of that book that I think is, you know, a good jumping off point. And that's what I would say about a test. It is the point of curiosity. It's the moment of awakening. Like, okay, is this true about me? Because when I took the test, I tested as an eight. And would it have been true about me? Maybe. I mean, I was like in the heat of, like, you know, raising four kids, all little, it was crazy. My life was crazy. And so I had to put a lot of structure in my life to make it make sense, but I'm not. When I really started to read the core motivations and, like, why do the numbers do what they do? I resonated with a seven. I'm like, I don't care about being betrayed. I mean, I do, but I just kind of expect it from my childhood. What I really care about is knowing they'll be taken care of. Like, when I read that, I was like, oh, that's my heart. And so why I do what I do has everything to do with try to figure that piece out. Then there was another phrase, frantic escapism, with the seven. When I read that, I was like, oh, buddy, I try to frantically escape my life even when it's good. So that resonated with me. So that's what, you know, I really encourage people to find those things that resonate with you. Even once you take a test, don't hold it that that's your number. Still remain curious.
Is this a tool for knowledge or for change?
So I want it to be for change. But it begins with awareness. So what I say is, information is not transformation until it's activated. So if you want transformation, you have to activate the information. Okay. And you've got to do it with tools. I use a lot of different, so I am an experiential specialist as well. So I use a lot of different manipulatives and things like that to help my clients see what we're talking about and where to go, because otherwise it's just information. You're not going to do anything.
But
right.
The basic personality types of these different they're who we are. I mean, we don't change from being who we are, but it becomes helpful information in how to deal with life and people through that. Eve, what in the world possessed you? Journalism pays well. The church doesn't.
That's right. I often say, Steve, that I went into a highly competitive dog eat dog, everyone out for yourself career to prepare me 10% for ministry. I believe that it just helped guide me toward probably one of the most difficult fields you can go into, because it's about a bunch of imperfect people preaching and talking about a perfect God. And so I think journalism prepared me just a bit.
I always want to run away with the circus. And I have a friend who said, after I became a pastor, that's exactly what I did. I suspect you see the underbelly of the church on occasion, don't you?
Beyond, and then beyond that, you see the underbelly, and then beyond, the insides, the guts, you name it, you see it. It's not for the faint of heart. Beautiful work, but not for the faint of heart.
Now, did you find the Enneagram helpful in the work that you do with consulting churches?
So much so. Absolutely. I actually was a little bit rebellious and irreverent. I'm a little bit of a contrarian already. But then when I got into it, I found it was deeply helpful, deeply helpful.
Oh. Well, guys, it might be deeply helpful for me. I'm about 60% decided that I'm going to take this stupid test and see what I've missed all of these years. I ought to know that before I die. And I am old and cramming for finals, so I'm not going to take it for change, but for knowledge. And so when I stand before the throne, I can describe who I am if anybody wants to know. Guys, this is hard work. We're going to take a nap, eat some cookies and drink some milk. And like Jesus, we're going to return. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have 4 mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These 4 mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
You're listening to Steve Brown, Etc., and we're talking to Eve Annunziato and Jackie Brewster, their new book. And this is all brand new information for me. It's called Hearing God Speak, a 52-week interactive Enneagram devotional.
Maybe I'll start with you, Eve, and then maybe Jackie, you can answer also. I'm a huge Enneagram fan. I came upon it maybe 4 or 5 years ago and just started devouring information about it. And it's been so helpful to me. But I've found that when you first land on your number, and this, it seems like it happens with everyone as they discover it, they land on their number and most people's reaction is like, oh, it's awful. I'm a 7 or I'm a 3 or I'm an 8 or I'm just curious, why is that? Most people's first reaction when they do see this? Cause you know, when you take the Myers-Briggs, you leave feeling like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's who I am. But there's something about the Enneagram that you kind of are like, it's heavy a little bit.
Oh yes, Zach, it's gut wrenching, honestly. And I will be honest to say that I wasn't going to have any of it because I believe in denial as a defense mechanism. And that's where I like to live. But then what I realized is there is no bad, better, or worse number. We're all magnificently, beautifully crafted by the God of all creation. And our number isn't a problem to solve. It is a beauty to embrace. But I also feel like self-awareness is painful. When I'm self-aware of who I am and my motivations, it's painful. But then when you start to study and realize the beauty within all of us, you realize actually self-awareness is freedom. I mean, Shakespeare says, know thyself. And I really, truly believe that we need to know ourselves. In fact, there's a business, Japanese business term called Kaizen. I'm sure you guys are all familiar with it. Kai meaning improvement and Zen meaning good. And it's meaning change for the better. And it's a Japanese philosophy that a lot of industries and corporations use because I believe that it is a natural part of all of us. It's innate. We want to improve. We want to be good. And this is a tool that allows us to get there. So yes, painful at first, but then there's such beauty in the journey and in the discovery.
Mm. Yeah. And I think, wasn't it John Calvin, Steve, who said to know God, you have to know yourself, and to know yourself, you have to know God. Isn't that,
well,
am I quoting that right?
So much that I'm sure he said it at one time or another.
Right. What about you, Jackie?
Listen,
what are
I
your
don't
thoughts
have to
on
take
that?
Your text test to go through the wrenching pain. I live there.
Hey,
I'm not altogether. I'm tired of me, and I'm not altogether happy with who I know I am. Kathy, you took the test.
No.
How do you feel?
I want to hear what
Jackie has to say.
Zach wants to know what Jackie has to say about it.
Okay.
So yeah, I think it's awareness. So as you know, with the other tests, it's like, okay, so, and I'm not schooled on the other tests. So it's like, there's a Labrador in one of the tests. I think like you could be a dog, you could be this or whatever. Right. In one of those tests, the DIS test, Myers-Briggs test. So it's all personality. Like this is who you are in the workplace. This is how you're showing up. So let's put our badges on us. Right. And then let's show up that way because this is what's expected of me. Well, the Enneagram does something different. It goes a little bit, a lot below the surface. And, you know, instead of like peeling back the layers of an onion, let's peel back the layers of an artichoke because we get to the heart of the issue. And that's what we like to do is get to the heart of it. Where are we going in here and where does it come from? But what happens is we expose stuff that we're like, I don't want anybody else to know that about me. You know, like, you know, as a two, there is some wording around manipulation in that. And you're like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Don't tell my dirty secrets to the world. Like there's a lot of that happens, but every single number, this is when you know you have the right number, when you feel exposed. It's uncomfortable. You feel exposed. You don't want other people to know it about you. But this is where the true work begins because you begin to ask yourself, oh, where did that pattern come from? And why do I have to do it? What am I gaining from that pattern? And really, what we should look at is, right, what am I protecting myself from by using this pattern? That's really what we want to ask when we get to those darker places.
Matthew?
And the times I've taken a test, that's when I was looking at the results, I felt seen. When I was reading about it, I'm like, oh, I think this is it because I feel a little bit naked right now.
Yeah.
And right, what right. I like about the what's in your work and the other work is that you're like, for this personality type, when you're at your best, this is what you're bringing. But when you're not at your best, when you're not operating from your best self, when you're stressed or whatever, this is where you kind of default. And having that identified really helped me. I'm like, next time that comes up, I'm gonna look at that differently. I'm going to have a different kind of level of awareness.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I think that's the truth, that level of, you know, healthy, average, unhealthy. And so we live like in that, hopefully, you know, in that average average to healthy level. That's where we want to live. We want to kind of be in that, but sometimes we dip to that unhealthy, but you might dip to that unhealthy on the freeway when somebody cuts you off and get back to that healthy side. So, you know, it's when we live in that unhealthy that we want to recognize like, oh, what is going on here? But you know, it really does. I love that part of it, that it really helps us understand those levels of where we are in our own awareness. You know, so much of the work has to be done inside. In some of it's just knowledge. Like you said, like, I don't really want to do anything with it. And what I say oftentimes to my people is that it takes 3 months to be able to see the patterns. It takes 6 months probably before we can start changing the patterns. Just give yourself some space to begin to see the patterns of behavior and ask yourself why. Get curious.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
Kathy just took the test. So.
Yeah, exactly. No, I appreciated what Zach said because I sort of felt the same way. I found myself gravitating to the bad stuff. and none of it came as a surprise. The good stuff is what came as a surprise. I don't think I ever really, you know, saw some of that. But anyway, that's another time, another thing. My question deals more with how does knowing all this, how does that play out as far as a devotional is concerned? You know, I mean, you guys took all this, put it together and put together a devotional. So how does knowing all that? Yeah.
So what, you know, Eve can share her side of it too, but what I did over the course of this book is 52 weeks. I gave you nuggets. I gave you little pieces of Enneagram knowledge. And I showed you different parts of yourself. I showed you, you know, your childhood message. I showed you your unconscious motivations. I showed you your defense mechanisms, where you go to in health and growth. And over the course of 52 weeks, my hope is that little bits of transformation happen, little bits of taking the information in and using the tools of application to help bring about transformation. And so, you know, I did that, and then Eve did her portion of it.
And we'll pick up.
You can finish the sentence.
Okay. Oh, I was leaving it to Eve. So Eve did her portion
of it.
With
all the extra time.
All right.
She'll have to do it on the other side.
Yeah, we'll do it on the other side of the break. For those of you who are listening, we're giving you some information on how to dump the liturgy of the church and do a new way of devotional, of talking to God and doing it honestly and with authenticity. Don't go away. We're not going anywhere. And we'll see you on the other side of the break.
From Key Life comes two mini books, What Do You Do for a Living? And Life After Retirement. What Do You Do for a Living by Justin Holcomb addresses the problem of defining ourselves by what we do and how we perform in our work instead of by who we know, a gracious, loving God who defines who we are. Life After Retirement by Steve Brown examines how those transitioning from work to retirement often experience a loss of purpose in life, and how the quest for personal significance can best be answered by God's radical grace, love, and purpose for our lives sufficient to carry us through this transition. What Do You Do for a Living and Life After Retirement can help guide people struggling with either work or retirement. These two Key Life mini books are available through keylife.org for a donation of $6.
You're listening to Steve Brown, etc. And as I mentioned earlier, but you never listened to me, we have a brand new Key Life app, and you can get it at iPhone and Android stores. Be sure to check it out. It is way cool.
Eve, before the break, we were talking about how this particular way of understanding your personality, how that can connect with the devotional that you guys wrote. And Jackie talked about it a little bit. I wanted to hear from you as well.
Yes, I love this question, actually, Kathy, because nothing brings me more joy in this life than when my children talk to me. If I'm in the middle of a meeting, if I'm leading leaders, if my children call me or whatever, I'm listening, right? And I believe that's the same way God feels about us. When we talk to him, nothing brings him such joy. And so I always do devotionals and I love them, but oftentimes they don't resonate with me, maybe my personality. So if I'm reading a devotional and it talks about how I need to be humble, I'm leaning in and listening because this girl needs to be humble. But then if I'm listening to or a podcast or I'm reading a devotional and it maybe talks about how I need more self-confidence or I need to believe highly in myself, I'm like, I already have an overinflated view of myself and I don't resonate. So that's when I had that 4 a.m. thought of, God, what can I do to honor you? I was about to approach the same birthday that my mom did at 50, where she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I wanted to honor her 33-year ministry in the prison ministry and in the after-school program and the Projects of Philadelphia. And so the way that we delve into this book is we never water down scripture. That is what, how we live our lives. And then we talk in the book, we talk about your peace, your protector, your purpose, and your personal growth. And we start with a scripture each of the 52 weeks and then how that's relevant. I write the scripture part. And then at the end of that, then it's all how all nine Enneagram personalities see that scripture in that lens and can communicate and really relate to God's word.
That sounds great.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, well, and this may not make that much sense as a question, but maybe to kind of follow along with that, I mean, part of the Enneagram benefit, I guess, is that you're able to kind of see how you relate to other people and approach that. And in the devotional, you're looking to relate to God. Do you start sort of projecting, you know, God's number as far as you're concerned?
Is
God sort of all of it? Or he, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously he's able to relate to you however you need to be related to. But right. Do you start thinking in terms of numbers for God?
No. And George, that's a very fair question, but absolutely not. This is a personality tool. And Jackie makes that very clear. This is an ability to track your growth. God's word is and always will be. He's the beginning and the end. Nothing compares to God's word. That is how we live and strive, correct? And I believe that our patterns of behavior and how we grew up and our childhood messes, it's just a part of nurture and nature, okay? But nothing ever replaces God's word. That's the most important of the devotional. This is just a tool to help that. And Jackie, you can probably talk into that as well. But no, nothing's more important than the word of God.
Right. And I think too, what I have found with myself and my clients is that there's no trying to change God to be who we think he should be. It's us trying to figure out how to access God. Like there's so much shame and there's so much guilt and there's so much heaviness that we all have on us as human beings. How do we create a little bit of lift in that for us to be able to feel God's presence and know that he's there and know that he loves us and that he created us and that we were crafted in his image. And so that's really our take on it. So we're not trying to change him at all. It's trying to open up some space in our own minds to be able to have some awareness of like engaging with God and that it's okay for me to go to the throne. It's okay for me to go to my daddy, you know, my Papa God, like that. It's okay for me to do those things. And a lot of us didn't have experiences like that growing up. And so that would be my hope is that people would read this and feel like, oh, I have a better understanding of how much God loves me. And because of that, I can engage.
So it's not like he's a one or a three, or I'm not sure. Yeah. He's both one and three at the same time, right?
No, he's omnipresent everywhere. And, you know, it's interesting. I would just like to add too, when we wrote this book in 2020, it just so happened to parallel a season during which Jackie and I were wrestling along with everyone else in the world. So many deep and untapped emotions, all of which created this very raw and real tone. I mean, after all, we were dealing with a pandemic, racial division, political unrest, a time where my father had a stroke in the middle of writing this devotional. And so I believe it was such a time as this, and we needed God and we need to hear God and we need to communicate with God and put God in the center of our life more than ever before because of what we're doing right now. And these untapped emotions are going to allow that closeness of this communication. And then of course, being able to understand how we intake information in our personality then can help that relationship. So it's just that tool.
Mm-hmm. This is good stuff, and I'm learning a lot. Next time I pray, I'm going to ask God to take the test. And I'm going to tell him, look, I know that I don't get to vote or tell you what to do, but it'd be really helpful on this side if I take the test and you do too. We'll have a far deeper and more profound and spiritual relationship. And I fear that what I'll hear is a great big old belly laugh. Guys, this is good stuff, even for the old white guy. Stay around. We're going to keep talking about it, how to understand you and then how to connect with a God who already understands you. Don't go away. irritated when the electricity went out. No television, no music, no Netflix. Then he discovered that the battery on his smartphone was dead. He decided to make some coffee, but when he went to the kitchen, he realized that without electricity, he couldn't even do that. Then he noticed his wife in the kitchen, and he sat down and talked to her. He said later, "You know, she seemed like a very nice lady." I know, technology's good, but sometimes go talk to somebody face to face. You might be surprised how nice and real they are. It's messy sometimes, but Jesus would like it. I'm Steve Brown. You think about that. Share what you just heard with a friend. Go to youthinkaboutthat.com. You're listening to Steve Brown, etc., and we're talking to a couple of great women, Eve and Jackie, very honest and authentic, and we're talking about their new book, Hearing God Speaks, interactive anagram devotional, a 52-week devotional, and when we started this, I was thinking, this I ain't doing this. I'm too old and too mean, and I'm just not. And I'm about 60% that when we finish this program, I'm going to at least take half of the test. Hey, I'd be interested. You know, this methodology is used everywhere. It's used in colleges and universities and industry. And you two are obviously women of faith. Deep and profound faith. How do people, and I assume that you associate with others who are into this kind of thing. Do they think you're weird? Do they get angry? Are they intrigued with your faith and how that works within the context of this? I'd be interested. Eve, why don't you start? And then Jackie, I'd like for you to comment on it too.
Yes, being called weird to me would be a compliment. I've been called a lot worse, but I don't find that typically as a reaction. I find a lot of curiosity and people leaning in again because it's just innate. And I think we all want to have compassion for ourselves. I think we all want to have empathy for ourselves. And I feel like they lean in because they not only want to learn that about themselves, but they want to give compassion and empathy for others. And I feel as though a lot of people are adapting and adopting this methodology because we want to understand that everything we feel and the way we approach life isn't how others do it. And it's okay. I found myself very judgmental before I was introduced to the Enneagram. And I thought if you didn't do it like me, you were wrong, or you weren't running at my speed, you were weak. And what I have learned that no, all my kids are different numbers. My husband's a different number. They're all beautifully crafted. And actually, I've been able to garner some of that compassion and empathy that there are 9 different ways to approach it. There are different personalities and they're all right. They're not all wrong. So it's really helped me gain that compassion and empathy that I really needed.
Jackie?
So I do coaching and with the Enneagram. So I go into organizations and I go into churches. I do a lot of personal coaching with clients. And so not all my clients are Christians, and that's okay. And so I hold space for people to uncover and discover more about themselves. And in that, I, you know, if faith comes up and there's a door to, you know, to share that, I will, but I don't push that door open. As far as people having different opinions about it, lots of people use it in lots of different ways. I haven't come up against anybody that's questioned me maybe some of it, but not really like, what are you doing? Or other Enneagram coaches telling me like you're doing it wrong. because you're not, like, you can take this tool and you can use lots of different ways to get to awareness. We use scripture. We use, you know, like, I believe that transformation comes when we activate the word of God in our lives. And so because of that, my clientele is kind of in that vein. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, those are the people that are going to come to me. However, I do often have a handful of people that are not Christians. And I love that too, because it allows me to hear what's happening in the world from a different perspective. And I love that as well.
I think if someone's listening and they're a Christian and they're not really familiar with this, the name Enneagram, and then if they see the picture of, like, all the lines that connect, it kind of looks like a pentagram, but not really. Like, I'm sure there's some Christians that think this is probably not good to use. And so I'm just wondering, do y'all have a response to Christians to say, like, no, this is actually a very helpful tool, and it's not satanic, or it's not, you know, inappropriate to use? I'm just wondering if y'all run into that at all.
Yes. Yes, we do. Yes, I do. I do get that question and more lately. And I think it's okay. Like, it's good. Be curious, ask the question. But remember that it's not a Christian tool. This is a tool, a personality tool assessment. The image, yeah, it does make you a little bit like, what is that symbol? The symbol is a piece of artwork created like 250 BC. It's not even created within the Enneagram, if that, you know, if you do the study on it. And so it's just interesting how people take in information. Oftentimes we are afraid of what we don't know. And so it's like, I don't know about that. So let me just push it away because I'm afraid. Like, I don't know. That's weird. I've read some articles and that's weird. And I would say, get curious. God redeems a lot of things that the world throws at us, right? He really does. And so let's see, what can we use to bring awareness to who we are, but who he is by the tools that are out there. And so the Enneagram is one of those tools that we have found great success and helping people really uncover and discover about themselves, but also engaging in a relationship with God on a deeper and more personal level.
Yeah.
Can I ask just a really quick question? In the analysis or whatever, after I did this, it got to the bottom of the page and it said wings, and it said that for type twos, the wings are 1 and 3, and the, just a brief little description, and said, you know, these are the neighboring types that appear to have the most influence. So if someone is a two, then their wings are always 1 and 3. If someone is a seven, their wings are always 6 and 8. I mean, yes. It just because of the logical order that it comes in. Okay.
Yes. Think about the bird, like the wings have to be attached. That's kind of what I think. Like, the wings have to be attached. The ones, it's a 9 and a 2.
It's a circle. Got it.
Yeah, it's a circle. So those, yeah, they have to be attached.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We do use 5 numbers. So it's your dominant number that does not change. That is the core motivation of why you do what you do. Then you use the number to the left and to the right of you. Those are your wings, and they'll balance out your personality. You'll see different parts of yourself like, oh, that makes sense to me. And then you also use a number when you are moving towards health and growth, there's a number. And when you are stressed, there's another number that comes up. Like, it's all described in our book in this beautiful way. It's such a pretty book too. So that way of helping you really see, like, oh, I actually is 5 of these numbers. So it's not just me learning about one number. I actually have to investigate 5 different numbers about myself to see the full picture of how I'm showing up in the world. And then why? Always ask yourself why. Get curious. That's my, you know, my number one thing with the Enneagram. Just be curious. Ask yourself the questions.
Mm. Wow.
Love it.
Man, you've got a yes, no question.
Trying to have a I'm looking forward to having the conversation with the wifey, but I think I'm going to have to take practice to get it right, because we can have a disagreement and be like, listen, Stephanie, I'm an 8 and you are wrong. So I'm going to have to practice this.
Poor yes. Steph. Yes.
I think we know who's wrong in most of those conversations.
You better read the whole book before you do that.
Hey, Edie's and Jackie, you guys are fun and we've loved having you with us. Are you working on something right now?
I am. I'm working on a second project that comes out next spring. It's an Enneagram deck of cards, 1 through 9, to help you uncover and discover more about yourself and in kind of more of a bullet point way.
Mm-hmm. Guys, if
we'll do this again.
Thank you. It was so fun. I loved every minute of it. Yes.
I'll learn how to pronounce it before we do it again. This has been a fun hour, and I've learned a lot. If a lot of it was talk that you didn't understand, let me suggest you get this book. It'll open a whole new world to you, hearing God speak. 52 weeks of interactive Enneagram devotional. Guys, we're going to return after the break. We'll tell you who we're going to do it unto then.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have four mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These four mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
Hey, you're listening to Steve Brown, Etc., and we just finished an interview with two delightful women. I learned a bunch of stuff. I did, and I often do that before we do a program. I did some research on the history of the Enneagram movement, where it comes from. I was interested to find out that Karen Horney, who was a depth psychologist, she's dead now, at Harvard, in the group that would nod in a positive direction toward Freud. And I liked her, and I liked her a lot early on because she sounded Christian in some of the things that she was saying. And she was one of the formulators of this whole methodology. She, for instance, said there was a difference between a father love and mother love. Father love said, as long as you do it the way I tell you to do it, then I love you. A mother love says, I love you no matter what. And she affirmed that. And I don't know a thing about her faith, but I do think that some of that is a part of what we've been talking about for the past year, how to love better and more profoundly and with better insight. I'm going to read this book, at least some of it, and probably take the test. And I was going to say I'll report back to you, but I don't think that's going to happen. But who knows? If it's really, really good and I'm better than everybody else and kinder and more Christian, I'll tell you. If the opposite happens, you're not going to hear another word about this subject. I will say I don't want to talk about it anymore.
What if you take the test, Steve, and you are equally all nine numbers?
Could be confusing.
Enneagram would explode.
Yeah, I mean, you're just the perfect embodiment of
the perfect human being.
You're right. Must be me. Kathy, who's going to be on next week?
Well, next week, you're not going to be with us. Matthew is hosting. And yay. I think this is a first. I think we're having three guests that are involved. Matthew, don't you run with this ball? Bobby Joe Reed, Brent and Donna Jones. So it's going to be
we got to get a bigger table.
Big day.
Yeah. Documentary film. Crazy story. You gotta tune back in. It's going to be amazing.
And Matthew, by the way, is an award-winning documentary producer. You ought to see some of his stuff. But we don't have time today. We're out of here, but we're going to come back next week, same time, same place. Hope you join us. Between now and then, don't do anything we wouldn't, and that gives you a wide berth.